This morning I forgot to give the computer lady my scriptures. So, sorry. I bet she can keep up. I bet she can catch them. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at 38. we'll start there. Anyhow, so I wanted to tell you guys that we are in the third of 4 weeks of this Sit With Me. And I was wondering, have you been able to invite someone to sit with you at church? And if you have been able, don't answer out loud, but what was their response like? And I'm sure I'll talk to you after church and kind of ask you what that is. But I'm curious to hear how people are responding to your invitations. And it's more of a social experiment for me than anything. No, I want you to invite people to come to church, but I'm also very interested in what are people doing now? What are the most common excuses for not coming? Or, you know, how do they wiggle out? Or do they just submit to you and say, okay, fine, I will come sit with you at church someday, this Sunday? What stipulations do they put on it? And I'm curious because, again, yesterday I was invited to someone else's church. And I love that people are inviting me to church. They even know I'm a pastor. They're like, hey, you should come check out our church. I don't know if they're recruiting me. I don't know if they want me to come preach there. I don't know what's going on. But they're inviting me to come and just be with them. And none of them have ever said, man, we got an awesome preacher. You should come hear him preach. But no, there's always like, hey, come to church. You know, it starts at this time, and our kids go there, or whatever, you know, whatever the reason is. But so I'm interested, how's that going? Because, you know, we've talked about the importance. We looked at Philip and the eunuch, and that just, I love that, that account. The eunuch was, he was ignorant, wasn't he? He was reading, but he had no idea what he was reading, and he was still being obedient, and God sent Philip there. And I'm wondering, are you Philip? Did God send you to someone? And if so, who did he send you to? And are they like the eunuch? Are they responsive or not? Anyway, something I was asking. Who here has met a celebrity? Anybody in here ever met a celebrity? Anybody in here a celebrity? Okay, in your own mind. I set him up. I knew he would raise his hand. No. Okay, so if you've met a celebrity, being from close to Louisville, you know, in the Derby going on and such, we would have celebrities come in and out a lot. And I was able to meet a few, and they're different. They're different, but the same. They're people. And I'll give you one account, and I didn't meet this. I guess we were in Louisville sometime. We were able to meet Jamie Grace. You guys know who Jamie Grace is? Jamie Grace is a young lady. I don't know how old she is. My daughter could tell you. But she's a Christian artist, right? She's a singer. Awesome songs. Love it. She has really good messages in her songs. You know, she praises and worships. She's a pastor's kid. She was also a children's minister, and now she's out touring and singing. And so we were able to go, and we were able to meet her, and we obviously have stalked this lady because we know way too much about her. And we know that she was homeschooled, and we know that she has dyslexia, and we know so much about her. So, and a lot of these things my children also share in she's a pastor's kid, you know, those things. So we're standing in line, and two of my children are so excited they can't stand it. They're almost got tears coming down their eyes. Because they're so excited to meet this celebrity. And one kid, he could care less. But he's the oldest, so I get it. But anyhow, so they're standing in line. And we get up to the table. And, you know, there's the bodyguards. And they're standing there. And they're all big. And you get like 30 seconds to meet them. And, you know, hi, how are you? My name is this. And who do you want me to sign it to? You know, they're always signing their name. Which, that's tangent. We shouldn't go down. I don't understand the signing of the name. But anyhow, so we get their name signed. But she did something that I love to see. She got up from her chair, and she walked around the table to spend specific time with my kids. You know, she hugged them and took a picture with them. And the whole time the bodyguards are like, no, you can't do this. You're not supposed to be doing this. And they're shooing, trying to shoo my children out off, you know, so the line will continue to move. But she stops them and she's like, no, we're going to take the picture they want to take. And that meant so much to my kids. Now, other celebrities that I've met, and I won't name them, but other ones that I've met, you understand by being in their presence that you are privileged. Okay, it is a privilege for you to even breathe the same air that they are breathing right there in your area. Okay, and that was not the case with Miss Jamie Gray. There's an excitement about being around a celebrity, and there's a whole lot of preparation that goes into, you know, a celebrity being in town or a celebrity being at your venue. You know, if we had a venue here such as One Fest and we had, you know, celebrity artists, there would be a lot more preparation that goes into it. For a couple reasons. One, you want to have your palace or your area presentable, right? We want to have a place where we're proud of. We don't want chairs on the stage. We don't want binders over there. We don't want zip ties over there. We don't want that. Right? We would have something excellent and magnificent and ready for the guest of honor. So as we pick up our scripture, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We see Jesus and his disciples, they were on their way. I love it. They're on their way. Where are they going? It doesn't matter. They're on their way. And he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And then I love this part. They finally got the exclamation point that I need. Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. I'm trying to clean up and get this place presentable. He comes unannounced. There wasn't like a telegraph or a telephone. You know how you knew Jesus was coming? Somebody that saw him walking was like, hey, Jesus is on his way. No. So Jesus just pops in. He shows up. Everybody hates to pop in because your house isn't ready. It's never ready. If you come to my house and you pop in, not ready. I live there. So do my children. They're stuff. We accumulate stuff. All right? So Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you even care? She's not even helping me a little bit. Martha, Martha. Try to say that without hearing Marcia, Marcia. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, sometimes what we do, and we're humans, is we try to spruce up the outside. We try to make everything look different than it probably actually is. Does that make sense? We try to make things look perfect. We try to make things look... I mean, yes, I want cleanliness and I want excellence, but at the same time, Martha missed the guest of honor in the preparation. Right? Jesus himself was sitting in her house. Imagine that. Jesus just came over to your house and knocked on the door and walked in. He's in and he's got his 12 people. He's got his bouncers and he's got his entourage. Everyone's there. There's 13 of them and they're in your house. Are you going to hurry up and sweep the floor and get the dust off? Or are you just going to sit down and be in his presence? It says that Mary was at his feet listening. He was sitting there teaching. And she was just there listening, soaking it all up. And he says to Martha, look, you've got it all wrong. You're so worried about the wrong thing. And I think he wants to shake her. He's like, look, I'm only going to be here for just a little bit longer. Listen. See, he's one of those celebrities where it was actually a privilege to be in his presence. It was a privilege to breathe the same air as Jesus Christ. I can't imagine. And he was so humble, he would never tell you, don't. And he told a few people, if you knew who I was, you'd be a little bit more excited. Right? If you really, truly understood who I was, you would be a little bit more excited about my presence. But the subtle way that he tells her and the subtle way that he tells us, don't spend so much time preparing that you miss the guest. Don't spend so much time on our outside. You know, he tells the Pharisees, you are whitewashed tombs. Yeah, you look perfect. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. If I were to look at you, I'd say, man, that's a holy person. But Jesus sees the inside. He's concerned about what's in here. So as we go, and I
did invite a few people to church, and one person said to me, what do I got to wear? It's the most common question I get. People don't even ask me, do you have instruments on the stage? They're more interested in what can they wear here. And one time I was in jeans and a hoodie, and I said, well, I would preach in this. And they're like, really? I'm not concerned, and Jesus is not concerned about your outward appearance. He's more worried about your heart. We're worried about your heart.
See, we want to prepare what other people see versus preparing what Jesus himself sees. We want to prepare on the outside and look beautiful on the outside while the inside is deteriorating, and it should be vice versa. We should be preparing the inside while the outside deteriorates, because we know this shell is gone, but the soul is what lives on. The soul, the inward, the heart. That is what we should be cleaning up and sprucing up. And how do we do that? We spend time in his presence. When he's there, we sit and soak it in. Don't get so busy trying to do ministry that we miss ministry. You know, we don't want to muck up everything. You know, we don't want to cloud up his word. We just want to sit in his presence. Mary and Martha lived in Bethany. Mary was interested in the guest, Martha in the preparation. We need to be a healthy balance of both. Does that make sense? We need to, the church as a whole needs to be a very healthy balance of Mary and Martha. We have to consider our guest, the guest of honor, through our preparation, but when he is here, that's what it needs to be about. Okay? When there's two or more of us gathered together, he is here in our presence. So he is here this morning. He is here with us this morning. He is not as interested with our appearance as he is our hearts. He's okay with the way you look. He says, come as you are, you'll leave changed. Come to me the way you are right now. You don't have to go and... I was this guy, so I'll tell on me. I was so concerned about going to church. I said, okay, well, I've got to clean up these areas of my life before I step foot in there. I don't want it to fall down. Right? If I were to come into your church, it might fall down. You've heard this, right? I've got to get this area of my life squared away before I show up at your church. What is that? Excuses. Excuses. Never once have I read the Bible where Jesus said, hey, if you can go get this taken care of, I'll save your life. Mm-mm. He says, hey, look, you got a sin problem, and I got the answer. I can help you. I can fix it for you. I know a guy that will save your life. Literally. Save your life. And all you got to do is come to him. So it's Palm Sunday. Do you guys know that?
Yes.
All right. Are you mad that I didn't buy you palms?
No.
Okay. All right. Get your own. Got some right here. Okay. We're going to... I want to show you the entrance... I'm going to show you how people treated their guest. Okay? So flip over to the left. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Something that's cool about Martha and Mary is they knew Jesus well enough to yell at him. You guys ever, you know when you know that person is just so good that you can just kind of tear into them? Their brother was dying. His name was Lazarus. And, and they sent word to Jesus like, "Hey, our brother and yours is dying. We need you to come home. We need you to come back." And Jesus decides, he's going to stay wherever he's at for a little bit, and then he doesn't come back. And then later, he comes back, and Lazarus is dead, and he's been in the tomb for like 4 days now. And they yell at him, and they're like, "If you would have just came when I called for you, this could have been prevented." You ever feel like that? Jesus, if you would have showed up when I asked for you, none of this would have happened. My life wouldn't be this messy now if you'd have just came when I asked you. I put my palms up, said, "Hey, praise God, come. Need you." Like he's a genie. Like you say, abracadabra, and there he is. He just shows up. If you want Jesus to show up, he says he's with you when there are two or more in presence in his name. Maybe, just maybe, you should invite someone to come sit with you. Sit with you. Be in his presence together. All right, did you find Matthew chapter 21? That wasn't in the notes. That was just impromptu. Hope you enjoyed it. That was a free sermon. All right, so I'm not going to read all this to you either. You guys probably already know this story. As Jesus is getting ready to come home, and it's called the triumphal entry for very good reason. But they're approaching Jerusalem, and they're at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sends two disciples into town. He's like, "Hey, I need something to ride in on. I'm going to need a colt or a donkey." And it's very symbolic, his choice. Very lowly, humble animal. And they would, basically, like if a ruler was waving the white flag, he would show up on a donkey, not on his war horse. Okay? So this is our king, their savior, showing up, riding a donkey, which symbolizes he comes in peace. He's meek, he's mild, he's humble, and he's coming to him. Let's jump to 6 here. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So obviously that these people know that Jesus is in town, and they know who he is, and they understand, they're excited. They're excited that a celebrity is coming to town. He's coming back to town. And so what do? They come and they take their cloaks. They might have had two ever in their lives. They take their cloaks and they lay them down so that his donkey or his colt can walk on it. And then they cut tree branches off and they want to wave it, and they're trying to make a big, big entry for him. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is the name. Right? So he's got his entourage, and they're all clapping, and they're all very excited that he's coming to town, and they got everything laid down for him. And they're praising God. They're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." See, they knew a king was coming. And they thought Jesus was their Savior. They're pretty certain. And they're praising him. They're praising him. I love when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this man that everyone is so excited about?" The crowd answers, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the prophet. The crowd knew the guest, and they were excited about him coming. They were excited about him coming. What I didn't tell you, or the account that we just read, didn't say that a part of that group that was singing and praising, there were Pharisees in there. And the Pharisees, they look at Jesus and they're like, you should stop them from doing that. You should stop them from praising him. And I will tell you something right now. Someone in your life has or will tell you, you need to tone it down. I'm going to need you to stop right there. Just let me stop you right there. That whole Jesus thing you got right now, that's too much. Can't take it. You can't be that excited. Okay? I'll tell you, that's manure. The best word I can come up with it. That's just, why are they quenching your spirit? That's what I would ask myself. Why should I calm down for you? I'm excited about my Lord. I want to show you, where's the first place Jesus went? Let's look at 12. Jesus entered the temple area. Now, granted, the temple was probably the first thing that he saw when he came into town. But he went to the temple area. And you know what's going on in the temple. There's money changers there, and they're selling you animals that you can sacrifice. And he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. See, what they've done is they've decided that they're going to make the temple for about them, right? They've decided that it doesn't matter who comes as long as they are adhering to what they say. They've made up these rules. Actually, they didn't make the rules, God did, but they have extorted those rules and manipulated those rules for their own financial gain. Okay? They said, oh, hey, you got to sacrifice a dove, so that dove, that is not a holy dove. I will sell you a holy dove. Right? Oh, no, you can't use that money here. Let me change that money for you. Right? You have to have the holy money, so let me change your money. So that's kind of what's going on in the temple. And Jesus comes in and he just throws his temper tantrum, and I love seeing Jesus angry. Sometimes I feel better about myself, like, hey, Jesus got angry, right? But he had righteous anger, and I rarely do. Anyway, he throws over the tables, and he's like, this is not what my house and my God's house is meant for. You ever been to one of those churches? Don't tell on them. Just think to yourself. I've been to one. So after all this happens, look at 14. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna, son of David, they were indignant. They were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him, and yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. He knows full well they have read that. It's in the Psalms. It's Psalm 8:2 if you want to look it up. He knows full well, and they know full well what the Psalm says. He says, haven't you ever read? Why do you think it's so important for us here at our church to have our children praise and worship with us? Why do you think it's so important when they go up to their own service or their own time that they praise and worship God in their own way? I will tell you one of the reasons, and this is kind of one of my pet peeves, is we're trying to teach them their own faith. We're trying to teach them how to worship their God in their way. See, because if we don't, what we have is, I said it the other day, we have a parasitic faith where they will draw off of our faith. And then when the time comes and they're in a time when their faith is in trouble, it won't be strong enough. It won't be strong enough because it's theirs. Right? I love seeing the children praising and worshiping our God. I love hearing their little voices sang Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. And then he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, or to the city of Bethany where he spent the night. I don't know if this is historically correct or not, but I wonder where he stayed in Bethany. I wonder, was it Martha and Mary's house? I wonder, did he go back? How much time did he spend with them? And how much, and more importantly, how much time did they spend with him? Does that make sense? You know, just because someone's in your presence doesn't mean you're spending any time with them, doesn't it? It means that you guys are occupying the same area. But what I'm asking us to do as a church, I'm asking us to spend intentional time with someone. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be out of your comfort zone at the very least. Because I don't know, no one has ever said, hey, can you come over and just sit down? That would be odd. Most people want me to come over for a reason, right? But that's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to say, hey, come sit with me. Let's just spend some time together. And you don't have to be sitting. That's just more of a metaphor than anything. Come spend time with me. But spend actual time, okay? When Jesus went to... I often wonder, as he looked at the people, did he feel bad for them? Because he knew he had to move on. I think he did. I think after he preached and... the ones that got it and they came with him. But the ones that didn't, I wonder if he felt bad for them. Like, man, if I just had a little bit more time with them. Just a little bit more time. But guess what he does? See, we have this. We have this book. We spend time with him each day. We read about him. We get to know him. We get to love him. It's incredible to me that we can love someone that you've never physically met. I love it. But I would tell you, you probably actually have physically met him. I would tell you somewhere Jesus, through someone else, you saw his face. You met him. He winked at you. He provided for a need that you didn't even know you had at the time. Whatever, you know, whatever it is, he was there. He was there. This we have a couple more. We have a couple services coming up for our Easter time. We have a Good Friday service. That's this Friday. It'll be at 6:30. I would encourage you to come. We're going to spend some time in the upper room. You know, that's... it's where Jesus spent his Good Friday, basically. So that's, we're going to be in the upper room for a little bit. And then on Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And inside your bulletin, you will have one of these little cards right here. And there's a fancy picture of a little chair. And on the back it says, sit with me at open arms, Sundays at 10. I would encourage you to take this card. And when you're inviting people to Easter, because Easter and Christmas are the two most populated days at churches, okay? When you're inviting them, say, hey, come sit with me at church. Come sit with me. And you can hand them this card. It doesn't say come sit with me at Easter because it's not a day specific. I'm just giving it to you now so that you can use it for Easter. There will be more, and then we'll always have them, okay? So this is our... we're 3/4 of the way through. And we're going to look at Easter next Sunday. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm trying real hard not to already start preaching it. But I'm really excited about it. We have in our presence right now the Creator of the universe. No matter what preparation you've done on the outside, he's here. We can't stop it. We can't change it. He's here already. All we can do is work on the inside. All we can do is prepare our hearts and receive his message. Know that he loved us so much that he sent his son, this Jesus that we're talking about now, he sent his son, his only son, to live and die for us. Did he have to do that? No. Are you worth it? Mm-mm. Do you deserve it? Nope. It's a free gift. That's what grace is. It's a gift that you didn't deserve. It's a gift to you that you didn't earn. Would you earn death? We know in Romans it says the wages of sin are death. But you don't have to die that death. While your outside may die, but the inside, the soul will live on. And I pray that each and every one of us come to a salvational knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can live on forever and ever in heaven. And all you have to do for that is to accept that gift. You know, if I held out a present and said, hey, who wants this? There's something really valuable inside. Do you want it? I bet there'd be a line to come get it. If you would line up like people line up on Black Friday to come get this grace, we would be a much better off community. But it's not happening. So what do? Do we stop giving the gift? By no means. No means. We keep on. We keep on. For a couple of reasons. That's what Jesus would do. And we're called to follow him. And he actually told us, go out into the world preaching the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is, hey, you don't have to perish. You can live forever in heaven through this free gift. Let's pray. Father, this morning, God, we thank you for being in our midst. We want to proclaim our love for you. We want to say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. You are welcome here, Lord. We welcome you into our presence. We welcome you into our church. We welcome you into our hearts. We pray you transform us, Lord. Make us more like you each and every day. Equip us, Lord, for your service. And as always, please, please go with us as you've promised. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his grace and his sacrifice. And I lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. All right, I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to sing another song. I'm going to have the elders come up. We're going to be down here to pray with you. I would ask you this morning if you feel that little tug, to respond to it. I would ask you this morning if God is saying to you, come to me, I would ask you to blindly follow that calling. Run to him, because he's there with open arms. As always, we're down front here to pray with you and to lift you up for anything that you need. The kneelers are open. The altar's open. Come to God. All right, let's stand and sing.